This is Nachyomi, Sefer Yehoshua, Chapter 7, Perek Zayin. Our chapter opens with the ominous statement that Achan, a member of the tribe of Yehuda, had in fact violated the ban on taking objects from Yericho after it was destroyed. The Jews were commanded to destroy everything in the city and not to keep any of the items, any of the spoils for themselves, for their own personal use, and Achan has violated this rule. Now, with that in mind, the story then proceeds to the next attempted conquest by the Jewish people. Yehoshua leads the nation towards Ha'ai, which is a familiar city to us because it's in a location that the Torah mentions in Sefer Bereshit, when Avraham Avinu initially arrived in the land of Israel himself, in Eretz Kena'an, he camps between Bet El and Ha'ai. So we recognize this city from way back when, from the first entry of the first Jew into the land of Israel. And here we have the Jewish people entering the land of Israel and camping in a similar place. Now, Yehoshua sends some spies to investigate Ha'ai, which is going to be the next target of conquest. They come back and reassure him that it looks like an easy capture. It doesn't seem like it'll be a difficult battle. It doesn't seem like an especially formidable resistance. So they advise that not much energy or time or manpower be wasted on this military campaign, and that just 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers be deployed. Yehoshua, listening to them, sends only 3,000 soldiers to this battle, and in a surprising reversal of fortune, the Jewish soldiers are driven away. 36 of them are killed, and the battle is a failure. The Jews are defeated in their attempt to capture Ha'ai. Yehoshua is devastated. The elders are devastated. The people are devastated. It looks like the providence, the promise of Hashem to assist the Jews in capturing and settling their land has not been fulfilled. They feel all of a sudden abandoned by Hashem, deeply disappointed, start questioning whether they should have followed through with the plan to cross the Jordan River and to enter the land of Israel altogether. Maybe now they too are destined to fail like their ancestors failed in the wilderness, those who were never fortunate enough to cross over to Eretz Yisrael. So Yehoshua then is answered by Hashem. Hashem answers him and says, no, it's not that Hashem has abandoned you. It's not that Hashem has failed to keep his end of the bargain. It's that you have failed. The Jewish people have sinned. Somebody has taken something illegally in violation of the prohibition from Yericho. Yehoshua arranges a lottery process by which he identifies the perpetrator as Achan. Achan is confronted. Yehoshua asks him to honor Hashem and to admit his wrongdoing, and indeed Achan does so. He confesses to having stolen a garment, gold and silver. Yehoshua sends some messengers to go and investigate, and they determine that indeed this confession of Achan is not coerced. It is true. His admission of guilt is indeed accurate. Then the Pesukim tell us that he, his family, his livestock, and everything that he possessed was taken to a valley that would later be known as Emek Achor, the Valley of Trouble, because, as Yehoshua says to him, look at all the trouble that you have caused us. Because of your sin, he brought death and he brought failure and defeat upon the Jewish people because of his mistake. Here, Achan and his animals are stoned to death, and then it says that they were burnt. It seems to mean that after being stoned to death, he was afterwards burnt in fire. All of his possessions are burnt. It seems also from a simple reading of the Pesukim that the children of Achan and his family was punished as well. However, Rashi explains that the family members were brought only, in other words, the children were brought only to watch the punishment, to listen, to watch, and to learn the moral lesson of their of the consequences of their father's action. Not that they themselves died. Others suggest that because they were below the age of bar mitzvah, because they were little children, they could be held accountable also. They could be made to suffer for the sins of their parents. This brings up a whole other theological question and discussion about to what extent small children are judged independently of their parents, and to what extent they're considered like an extension of their parents. And finally, some say that perhaps his family was complicit in his action. Perhaps they covered up for him. Perhaps they assisted him in some way and therefore were held accountable. But the Ralbag and Rashi both agree that they weren't killed at all. They just came to be witnesses to this punishment so that they would learn the lesson of their father's downfall, of the justice that is brought to Achan in this case. One of the interesting questions that's raised by this perek is how a battle could be lost and 36 lives could be lost simply because of the sin of one person, Achan. After all, the Jewish people were not even aware of the sin of Achan. They didn't know who had done what or that anything had been done wrong. It came as a surprise to them when they lost the battle, and they had to use a lottery in order to identify the perpetrator. So how could they be considered guilty or held responsible for the sin of this one person? How can we explain, how can we justify 36 Jews who went into battle to capture Ha'ai, who had no idea what Achan had done, who had not participated in that sin, and certainly couldn't be blamed for that sin? How can we justify them dying as a result of this sin of Achan? So it's possible to answer this by suggesting that Achan indeed was the only person who did an act of trespass, who actually misappropriated the spoils of Yericho. But what he did may not have been necessarily contradictory to the attitudes, the beliefs, the thoughts, and the feelings of the Jewish people at that time. Why did he take something from Yericho? Because he had a sense of entitlement. He had a sense that he had put his life on the line to help take Yericho, and therefore he deserved to be able to claim some of the spoils. And of course, we learned in the previous perek that this was exactly the point. This was precisely the point of burning everything in Yericho, to teach the people that they weren't entitled, to teach the people that this wasn't their victory, this wasn't their battle. Everything had to be attributed to Hashem in the entire process. They needed to approach it humbly and modestly. And yet Achan, by brazenly taking of the spoils of Yericho, was saying, I claim this battle. I am the victor. I'm the one who made this happen. And perhaps what he said wasn't just indicative of his attitude, his perspective on the battle, but it was in fact something symptomatic of a deeper problem in the community, that the community viewed this as their battle, that the community viewed this as their entitlement, as something that they deserved. And therefore, his action, people might have looked the other way. They might not have considered it so serious. They might have dismissed it. They might have figured, what's the big deal anyway? And that's why they were all held responsible here. We can see a hint that there was a national hubris. How can we see that? From the way that Yehoshua and his messengers and advisors approached the whole battle of Ha'ai. What did they say? Ah, this is going to be a piece of cake. We're going to take this place without much effort, without any strategy. We're not going to have to invest much thought into it. We're not going to have to invest many soldiers in it. It's going to come to us easily because we deserve it, because we're entitled to it, because we're invincible, because that's how it's meant to be. And that attitude that they had was the very same attitude that led Achan to commit his sin. So Achan's sin is not a personal avera, but actually it's indicative of an underlying defect, an underlying moral error that had ensnared the entire Jewish people and which was rearing its ugly head in the nation, and that had to be identified and had to be rooted out. And in fact, by bringing Achan to justice, by taking him and executing him in the dramatic fashion in which he is punished, all of this is the Jewish people's way of saying that, yes, we recognize where Achan went wrong. We recognize that it's an attitude, that it's a perception that we too shared and that we too ran the risk of acting on, although we didn't. And we are saying in no uncertain terms that we reject this, we condemn this. We know we want to dissociate ourselves from this attitude and to truly and genuinely internalize the lesson of the Battle of Yericho, which was that this was no human being's victory. This was not the accomplishment, the achievement of the Jewish people, but it was the achievement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a manifestation of His majesty and His kingship, and that no one had the right to claim an entitlement to the spoils of that war for themselves, whether it be in their heart or in their hand.